Andrews. We're going to have more results for you guys. In fact, let's give you the Gillum result, and I want to read some of your comments, which we're going to read throughout the night. If you use YouTube Super Chat, that helps the show and moves you up there in otherwise sometimes not a very productive chat on YouTube. I'm keeping it real. Anyways, but also on Twitter, hashtag TYT Live. Can we get it to trend on one of these election nights? Can we do that? All right, we'll find out in a second. But John, go ahead, Gillum.
In the Democratic primary in Florida's governor's race, the Gillum-Graham race has not budged. He is still up by 1.9.
Well, was it 1.8?
No, please, it was 1.8 and 83%.
I thought you said 1.9. No, anyway, it is scarcely budged then.
Okay, 86%.
Yeah, but we've moved from 83 to 86, from 1.8 to 1.9. That's bad news for Gwen Graham. I learned something else about Gwen Graham that I'm embarrassed to say I did not know. Gwen Graham is the daughter of Bob Graham, former governor of Florida, longtime Florida senator.
I almost made a Graham
presidential
joke.
Candidate.
That's right. I ran into Bob Graham once at an airport.
Sounds like it's going to be a great story.
Yeah, it was. Back when I remembered it.
Right. Oh, right. Well, okay. You know what? That's actually better than I think it would have been.
No, I do remember him being. It was about the Saudi Arabia thing. So I run into these senators. They're not used to running to people who know a lot about the news, right? So, like, the minute I say something that they're like, "Huh, like this guy actually knows something," they're like, "Yeah, let's talk."
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then you wind up having a decent sized conversation. And I remember how open minded he was about and insistent, because he's now kind of known for this, about the Saudi role in 9/11, and holding people accountable about that. So Bob Graham did an interesting character, a little bit of a mixed record in Florida, but some really, really positive things too. But nonetheless, we're hoping that his daughter loses tonight.
Yes, it is a typical race in many ways, because she is not, from my reading of her, she's not wildly centrist. She won a very difficult race and felt and accomplished being centrist in that race and won it. Doesn't seem like that's her core, but she is seen in this race by party officials as the candidate most likely to win moderate voters and win the race. She is the darling of party favorites. Philip Levine, or Levine, we would never know unless you met him. They're all different, those Jews.
I'm going to take you out of context, brother.
Whenever I get challenged on a Stein argument, I always say whoever the person is doesn't care. Uh-huh. Like, they've been called both their whole lives, they're fine.
Well, it depends. Like, I'm totally fine saying Kank.
Right.
Bank, I don't care. Yank, Hank, right? It's jank, but how the hell would you know that? But some people are weird.
Like, no, they are, but I'm saying Jews in general, if they're a Goldstein, they're like, yeah, Bernstein, I got it. I'm not going to correct you.
Okay, well, bless their hearts. You know the... So
Philip Levine is the mayor of Miami Beach. He spent $30 million of his own money in this case.
Oh my God, he spent $30 million to get his ass kicked like that. Mm-hmm. But bless his heart, because he took a lot of votes away in Broward and Palm.
He may have taken, it seems most likely that he probably took some votes, who knows, he took votes away from Gwen Graham. If he did, Godspeed.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it looks like happened, because if he wasn't in the race, presumably Broward would have been closer. I mean, or maybe he would have blown her away in that county, 75-25, but probably not. But you never know which way those are going to go. But if my friend Levine Levine, hey, look, it's the Levine leading the Levine.
Oh my God, we've gotten to that point of the night early. It didn't take long.
Then we got lucky on that one, apparently. Okay, so here's your marker. If Gillum gets to 91% reporting with a 2.5% lead, it's over. Okay, is that scientific? No, but is that true? Almost certainly. Okay, so let me read some of your comments. YouTube Super Chat. Jake Shipe writes in, sometimes ship, sometimes shipe, but he doesn't mind. Okay, says, glad my county, Broward, is finally doing something positive in an election. Thanks to TYT and Kyle Kalinske for getting me involved and informed. I'm screaming watching the results. That's exactly the kind of viewer we like. Screaming viewers.
Just whatever the topic is.
Yeah.
Scream, baby, scream.
I'm reminded again of the show idea, I hope I not ruin it for her, from my friend Rachel Hamilton. Really, truly funny. She wanted to have a show that her mother would be on, too. Mm-hmm. It would just be called Strong Opinions.
We've talked about this before. Yeah. It's tailor-made for me.
It is tailor-made for you, yeah.
Strong Opinions I'm Jake with Jake Huger.
Welcome back to Strong Opinions. I'm Jake Huger. We're going to take a break. We're going to take it now.
Also, Strong Pronunciations with Jake Huger. Mm-hmm. Speaking of strong opinions, Jimmy Dore, like once a year, gets me a collar, like things that you put in your collar. I don't know what they're called.
Collar stays.
Collar stays, okay.
I have collar stays in right now, actually.
See, that's right. So that my collar stays up. Now, does it look like I'm using them?
No.
No.
It does not.
And every time I, thank you, Jimmy, for getting them. Sorry, I never used them.
I would never leave the house without collar stays. I have literally.
How are they not a sponsor?
I have 200 collar stays. I mean, I bought you. They're not.
$50 to $100.
Right, yeah. Cost like. $9.
Jimmy got me fancy metal ones.
No, those are great. Yeah. Metal ones are great. Metal, yeah. I just forget and don't take them out of the shirt. You put them in the wash and then there's a potential problem. And they melt, and if they melt, and then they ruin the shirt. But the key to a collar staying up is a collar stay can only do so much. Mm-hmm. The shirt has to do most of the work.
Yeah, maybe we got two problems there. All right, back to strong opinions with the outdoors.
About collars.
Alex Kahn writes in, how as a teen do you get politically involved? Well, Alex, a great way to do it is to volunteer. And I talked to a lot of candidates who are actually very young. Andrew Gillum's pretty young. Pam Keith is pretty young. But I talked to a candidate just yesterday, Rugenberg, who is 28 years old and has a really good chance of winning. Got it. Not just all the standard progressive groups endorsing him, but then now jumped into the race and Sierra Club, et cetera, ones that don't normally get into primaries. And he's just 28 years old. And so, and the way to do it is, I would say volunteer. That's the best way to get involved. Look, I'm biased, so I'll say volunteer and Wolfpack or just Democrats, but whatever group floats your boat, or political organization. I actually, when I was younger, I was a Republican, so I volunteered on a couple of Republican campaigns. I liked some of it, hated some of it. So find what you like, do a couple, and then start, you know.
Let me read you the New York Times thing, by the way, to this point. What's this guy's name?
Alex Kahn.
So Alex Kahn. So
some say Cohn, though, and he's fine with it.
How does he spell his name?
C-O-N-N.
All right, that's Kahn.
I think that's Kahn.
Mayor Andrew Gillum of Tallahassee, who would be Florida's first black governor, has positioned himself as the most liberal candidate in the race, has come on strong at the end of the primary. To win the general election, Mr. Gillum argues Democrats need a candidate who can motivate young and non-white voters who often do not vote in midterm elections.
That's a billion percent true.
Yep. Yeah.
And so, and it's not just logically true, it's empirically true. Both in Bernie Sanders' victories and some of the primaries that we covered, and in most famously Donald Trump's victory. And in fact, I talked to the conservative who ran Dave Brandt's campaign, where he did that shocking victory over Eric Cantor. And in Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's race, all of them, the same thing. It was not likely voters who showed up. Likely voters show up in normal numbers, right? But they bring unlikely voters. And that's why sometimes the polling is so off in those races, because they usually poll just likely voters.
Oh, I have a home phone. You probably don't even know what one of those is, John.
Yeah, I grew up with home phones.
It rings in my office so I can do so I can do radio interviews, right? And not have a bad cell phone connection.
Oh, okay.
Right?
All right, that makes sense.
But it rings all the damn time, and it's always pointless, right? There's always a long wait, and then, hi, can you hear me? And I'm like, yeah. And then it's not a person, though.
Robots.
I mean, it'd be one thing if robocalling employed people, but it doesn't even do that.
Yeah.
But this one was, for some reason, I didn't just pick it up and put it back down, which I usually do. I answered, and it was a political survey.
Huh.
And
did
I was
you take
like,
it?
I did, of course.
Of course you did.
Yeah,
of course. What a silly question.
Yeah. I took it. And
it turns out that the person doing the survey was Michael Schur.
I strongly disapprove of President Trump.
Oh, okay. All right.
I feel he has made me ashamed.
Oh, okay.
Do I think the following people would be good presidents? Let me see if I can remember the third one. The third one would be nice, but I remember the first two. So do I think that in 2020, Mark Cuban would be would make a good president.
Yeah, interesting.
And I said, no, I do not think Mark Cuban would make a good president. Second question was, do I think Oprah Winfrey would make a good president? And I said, no, I do not think Oprah Winfrey would make a good president. And then it was some standard polling questions about, you know, how you feel, direction of the
country. Do you remember the third one was a politician or a non-politician?
I feel like it was three, maybe it was just those two, but I feel like there were three. I was very excited by Cuban was first, and I thought, and I still think it's possible that Cuban may have commissioned the poll.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And gotten Michael to do it.
But I gave it, and you know, and
the minute you said Mark Cuban, I thought, oh, look at that, Mark Cuban has a poll on whether you should run for president.
By the way, I know how these pollsters work. The third person was Michael Avenatti. Let's keep it real. Definitely Michael Avenatti. Also, the person calling you, Michael Avenatti. It was not a robot at all.
All right, Hitton Dave, which is kind of a fun name, writes in on YouTube Super Chat. I have friends who prefer reading to videos, so it would be great strategy to include a written version of each of the day's stories. Well, Hinton, I got a couple of pieces of good news for you. In the new website, TYT.com, there is a whole section dedicated to articles. And we've got our TYT Investigates pieces there, but we're bringing more and more progressive articles into that category, so you'll love that. That's also on our app, so TYT.com/app, get the app. Our newsletters. If you're a member, you get our newsletters, and so far the members love them. I'm a member, so I get one. And I was reading through it yesterday, and I was like, this is really good. It's like, I didn't see a couple of these stories. These are good stories. Right? And I thought, like, yes, our newsletter for the win. TYT.com/join to become a member and get that newsletter.
What was that guy's name? Else.
Hitton Dave.
Hitton Dave.
So but it could be Hitton Dave.
Or it could be Hitton Dov. because I just saw that movie. Did you see Disobedience?
No, but that sounds fun.
Well, it is fun. It's Rachel Weisz and Rachel McAdams as.
Oh, and are they being disobedient?
Yes, they are. They're super Jews, and they.
Uh-huh. But they did it up.
Yeah, there's a whole da da da. There's a fair
Hitton
amount of
Dave.
I guarantee CNN's election coverage. No implicit talk of lesbians.
But Rachel,
oh, is that what you guys were thinking?
Oh, I apologize.
I thought they were just eating pork. But, I thought they were just took an elevator during the Sabbath.
That was troublesome couple of words there for a moment. Alejandro Nivola.
You are putting words in my mouth that I have not intended.
It was an honor doing this last election coverage with you guys.
Alessandro Nivola, a really good actor, he played Rachel McAdams' husband, and his name in the movie was Dovid, right?
Uh-huh.
Because they're very, you know, they're at all...
Were you about to say very Jewish?
They were so Jewish. And so the entire... But every time somebody said his name and watched it with my wife, I would just say, David. like, stop being so full of yourself. It's David.
By the way, our friend Hitton Dave, who wrote...
Hitton David.
Okay. No, but I'll tell you, Hitton David sounds like an awesome name.
Yeah.
Hitton anything's an awesome name. It's H-I-T-E-N.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Hitton? We think it's Hitton?
Yeah.
And if he was like Hitton Hank...
Do you remember a baseball player?
Fill in the blank. Doesn't matter. Hitton Hank Thompson, right? That would be amazing.
There was a baseball player, probably just after you stopped paying attention to baseball, named Mark Whitten.
No, I think I remember.
Yeah,
him.
Like he made,
was he a White Sox? That would be an amazing pull.
He was a Blue. He played for a lot of teams, but Blue Jays, Indians, maybe Cardinals. Uh-huh. But anyway, his nickname was Hard Hitting Mark Whitten.
And no, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I would definitely remember that hard hitting Mark. Oh, you know me and nicknames. I would have loved that.
He hit. He's one of the few guys. I think he hit 4 home runs in a game.
Oh, right. There's an election going on. Sorry, we got distracted there for a second. Thought it was old school. By the way, are you around for Rhode Island?
No.
Oh, damn it. We might still do it. We're thinking of doing an old school slash election night. Okay, and that's some trippy stuff right there for you members that love old school. You're gonna love that. TYT.com/join. Have I mentioned that? To become a member. All right, let's give you results and I'll read you more tweets.
Oh my God, it just happened.
Really? No.
In this laptop, I possess fabulous information. We're up to 87% reporting.
Uh-oh. Yes, you do.
And it's been called.
Yes!
Checkmark.
Andrew Gillum for the win! Okay, to review for everyone, as we do this coverage live on election nights, as we always do, Andrew Gillum, deeply progressive, backed by almost all the progressive groups. Our Revolution and on down. John, I'll get you the whole list in a second. Gwen Graham, backed by the establishment, almost everyone in the Democratic establishment backing Gwen Graham. Andrew Gillum, young African American, already in state politics, already had a great list of accomplishments. I interviewed him on Rebel Headquarters. You should check that interview out on youtube.com/rebelHQ. And he is dynamic, and he ran a super strong race. And when I see great candidates like that, I think, like, do I know anything about politics? Because if I do, I feel like he's got a good chance of winning, even though, of course, the establishment candidate has way more money, endorsements, the machine has all that. Now, of course, sometimes it doesn't happen. Tonight, Pam Keith, she's a wonderful Just Democrat, super dynamic as well. I thought she had a great chance just based on the kind of campaign she was running. It didn't happen for her. And look, there's the Brent Welders and the Greg Edwards that lose, even though they run a great campaign. But Andrew Gillum, all the progressives in the country were excited by him, and it turns out we were right. We were right to be excited. It's one of the biggest wins, I would say, of the whole primary season.
I'm going to do what I bemoan everyone else doing, but I'm going to say the disclaimer part first.
Okay,
I love a disclaimer. Look, he got 33% of the vote, 34% of the vote. With, you know, Philip Levine got 20, the others got 14.4%. So those who want to mitigate his impact will use those numbers, and they won't be wrong. We don't know what would happen if Philip Levine hadn't run. But it's a primary, and frequently there are many people involved in the primary.
I often find that to be a super uninteresting point, because you get the races you have, not the ones you wish you had.
So yeah, right? he won the race he had.
You got to win, and right? So as Rumsfeld would say, right? Sometimes there is a spoiler candidate that takes just enough votes, and then that conversation becomes a little bit more interesting. But in a three-way race, you got to win a three-way race. Yeah,
right.
So what?
And we don't have any way of knowing that if it had just been a two-way race, maybe he would have beat her by 6-7 points. We have no way of knowing. But
either way, enormously irrelevant.
Right. But all I mean is, if you're looking for what I'm now going to say, like a sign of changes in the Democratic Party, it's hard to say it's a sign because he only has 33 or 34% of the vote. That said, like Gwen Graham, the thing that I am embarrassed that I didn't know, that she's Bob Graham's daughter. I mean, so this is the establishment candidate, the daughter of a popular former governor and senator and presidential candidate and a very establishment Democrat. And in some of the good ways for Bob Graham, like he was, you know, she met him, he's a reasonable, smart guy. And look, they just beat his daughter, right? Like, I mean, and Hillary Clinton lost twice. Like, you know, that sort of idea that the sort of the princes, the princes and princesses of the establishment of named powered leaders in the Democratic Party has taken it on the chin.
And it's
that, of course, that all by itself is comforting to see.
Hopefully that'll also happen to Duncan Hunter Jr. in the 50th
that'll also,
district
I was going to say,
in California. I really dislike the idea of royalty in this country. Mm-hmm. So if anything, I have a bias against family members running. Really, two people in the same family both happen to be like the perfect person for those particular races in a country of 330 million people, or there are perhaps the name recognition is helping them, and hence the title of royalty.
We had a revolution in this country, so it was not to have royalty and to establish a deep state. Those two reasons. and I think that, there's value in eliminating part one.
Yeah. And look, it matters to the American dream. Andrew Gillum grew up with not a lot of money in Miami, and he worked so hard, got himself into a good school, and worked his way up. And that's the American dream. And the fact that it's alive is not a small thing. And even a lot of people on the left are worried that it's not alive. And I'm an optimistic person, and you see somebody like Andrew who absolutely positively did ironically what the Republicans, you know, talk about, pulling himself up by the bootstraps as they will run against them viciously pretty soon, right? It's just great to see. And it's not just against the royalty, et cetera. To me, the most important lesson out of this race, the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez race, Kara Eastman race, and the list goes on, all the 24 Just Democrats have won so far. Gillum wasn't, he was backed by all the other groups. That's real unity. I love it. I don't care that he is or is not any particular label. He's a fantastic progressive. That's what I care about. But to me, even the bigger lesson is the machine is not as invincible as they would have you believe.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. They're not.
And they told you, hey, don't even bother running. Don't bother. You're not. It's, the guy's not taking corporate PAC money. You're never going to win. Right?
Look, the machine scared people into not running. Scared establishment people into not running against Hillary Clinton. I mean, Joe Biden. I don't need to read one story. I mean, I know Joe Biden had personal issues for not running, and those were very real issues. But Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, and every other Democrat who decided not to run, they didn't run because they were like, I'm going to get crushed. I mean, I'm going to get crushed with money. I'm going to get crushed with ads. My spirit is going to get crushed, and we should not ignore that part, right? And people who are my friends are going to turn on me, and I'm going to lose, yeah. Right? And Bernie Sanders has had a whole life where he was like, nah, I don't care. I don't have that many friends, you know? Or whatever. But I mean,
it's certainly not in Washington.
But also that means the kind of friends they're not going to turn on me.
Of right, course. Yeah, right. And that's where Bernie being obstinate.
That's right.
Was incredibly helpful.
Right. Yeah, right. And one of the things that I think has held back some of the types of candidates that we have running and winning in primaries across the country now is that you don't necessarily have like-minded, ideologically similar national figures to come in and help you out. Like, people still early in these cycles were like, oh, I wonder who Obama is going to endorse. Like, well, I hope he endorses a progressive, but you know that he's probably not going to do that. But you did have Bernie Sanders, and so he went around rallying for people like Brent Welder and a number of other candidates. You have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez as well. And after some of these other primaries and after November, you're going to have a lot more. You might have Ben Jealous, you might have Andrew Gillum. These people who are going to be commanding media attention are going to be able to help out in future cycles similar sorts of candidates. We take that element of the machine away and use it against them.
And if you're watching tonight, and if you just heard what I said, you are. If Andrew Gillum does what he now must do, I mean, great win. Now you got to go beat kooky Ron DeSantis in his wall with his kids. Then you're the incredibly young, pull up your bootstraps, governor of Florida, and get ready to know Andrew Gillum's name for the rest of his life, right? Because he will.
Yeah.
He'll be a governor. He'll be a senator. He may skip becoming a senator and go right from being governor to running for president of the United States. Mm-hmm. But you got to beat Ron DeSantis first, and then most importantly, though, what you got to do if he is able to win in November when he gets to Tallahassee, then whether it's January or December, whenever they bring in the new governor, you have to govern. Yeah. And you have to govern effectively and without corruption, which is a problem always in Florida.
In his case, uncorrupted, doesn't take corporate PAC money, and has already shown that he can govern.
There's no harder job in America than being a mayor of a city.
And I think people criticize us very often. Obviously, we come from a particular perspective. We're progressives in particular races. We might be biased. Like here, we're talking about we like Andrew Gillum. We don't like Ron DeSantis. But I think in this particular race, we should be more fair. We should help out Ron DeSantis. His goal is to let everyone know that he loves Donald Trump, is super tight with Donald Trump. I think we should spend the next couple months helping him to spread that message.
By the way, so Broward is now 500, nearly all reported, 12 precincts out in Broward, and he beat Gwen Graham. He beat Levine by 18,000 votes. He beat Gwen Graham by 34,000 votes in Broward County.
Giant
he
difference.
Is ahead by 38,000 votes.
If you've been watching this live throughout the night, Ben made a great point about how important Broward County was going to be. That's why I think we do a pretty decent job on these election nights, giving you the context that you need. And it turns out that was probably decisive in this race. Last couple of things here. Look, now with the Gillum victory, not only do you have all the positive things that I mentioned before, but you also have momentum. How many primary nights in a row is there going to be headlines all over the country?
Yep.
Another progressive wins. And this is a big one. This is for the governor's race in Florida. He took on a huge establishment candidate. He had no chance when he began, or at least conventional wisdom said he had no chance. And now people might start to, like, famously in Princess Bride, that word might not mean what you think it means, right? So you keep telling us it's impossible, but somehow we keep on winning.
Yeah.
So, and I think that momentum is going to start to seep in even to the thick-headed mainstream media in Washington. Where like, you know, in the beginning, they're like, that's so funny, our revolution is not winning enough. So, wait a minute, they won again. And then just Democrats won, and then Ocasio-Cortez won, and Ben Jealous won, and now here comes Ben, Gillum, and
Can I read some polls from Florida just before we while we celebrate his victory? So on there was a poll July 23rd to 25th, so a month ago, Mason-Dixon poll that had Graham at 27, Levine at 18, Green, who we haven't even mentioned, who clearly came in fourth, at 12, and Gillum at 10.
Then, how long ago was that?
1 month. Then Survey USA, August 10th through the 13th, 2 weeks ago, poll that ended 15 days ago. Graham 22, Levine 22, Green 16, Gillum 11 in fourth place. Florida Atlantic poll, 816 to 820. The poll ended 8 days ago. Graham 29, Levine 17, Green 11, Gillum 11. So he's tied for third, but still at 11 points, 18 points behind her. Finally, a Gravis marketing poll from 821 to 825, a poll that ended 3 days ago. Graham 26, Levine 18, Green 19, Gillum 16, still in fourth place, 10 points behind. All polls indicating, and she had a 7.2% average of those polls, and clearly everybody at the end of this race coming, suggesting also perhaps that the visit there in the last 3 or 4 days from Bernie Sanders made a rather significant difference.
Yeah, I want to political write that article. So, yeah. but listen, guys, I want to say one other thing that's really, really important about that. One of our thesis for progressives was we can get unlikely voters to show up. So a lot of these polls poll likely voters. So yes, he was behind. Yes, he ran an amazing campaign. Yes, Bernie Sanders, all other progressive groups made a big difference. But also, the polling isn't accurate because they're polling the wrong people. I'm not one of those guys, polling, don't trust them. No, you can. They're just using the wrong data set. If you've got a real progressive in the race, a populist in the race, who's going to bring in people that wouldn't normally otherwise vote. And this is an excellent case of it. Now, even more importantly, that's why we think progressives have a better chance of winning general elections. Because they're going to get those same people who don't normally vote to show up to vote. Yeah. So now, because Andrew Gillum won, we get to test that theory in a massively important race like the Florida governor's race. And so if Andrew Gillum beats DeSantis, it will shock Washington for the second time. Yeah. And it'll make it much, much harder for those guys who are so skeptical and dismissive of progressives to say that we can't win when we just won. So tonight was a giant night, and apparently resistance is not futile. So don't believe the hype. Here comes progressives all over the country.
And he won't just be running to be governor of Florida in November. He's running against a guy who couldn't be wrapping himself tighter and in more layers mm-hmm. of Make America Great. I don't know what word I was going to use. I couldn't remember the thing for a thing that's not a blanket, but you still wrap a throw.
A throw. My mom used to sell this. Yeah.
Make America gracious. Great throw.
Especially after we produce a few campaign ads for him. Mm-hmm. So some data that I'm seeing to perhaps back up your point, Jared Leopold had tweeted out, Dem turnout historically in Florida governor Democratic primaries. So in this exact race that we're talking about, if we jump all the way back to 2006, it was about 857,000 votes. 4 years later, 2010, still 870,000 votes. 2014, it drops down to 840,000 votes. So between 840 and 880
it didn't
votes.
Change, right, basically.
2018, 1.4 million votes.
Oh, geez. Wow!
It didn't quite double.
Wow!
It was close to doubling.
Look at that. We told you. Why did they not show up in the other elections? Because you didn't give them anything to show up for. What does the Democratic Party do over and over again? They blame the voters. Oh, they should have voted for Hillary. No, you should have had a candidate that got them excited and got them out to vote. And look, Andrew Gillum got people excited. I mean, 600,000 more votes than normal. Now, by the way, don't get, like, we get it. I hope we're sophisticated enough to understand that it's also because people are mad at Donald Trump, and you're getting more voter turnout in most of these primaries, especially on the Democratic side. But that's not a little difference. That's a giant difference.
And they turned out clearly in large part, those new voters. I'm very anxious to see what new voters, who they voted for. But I think we can safely assume that Andrew Gillum's going to win that. So yeah, they're angry at Donald Trump, and they turned out to support the person who's probably angriest, right? And more, and the one who's ready to fight most, not the one who's like, I'll reach across the aisle and find the Republicans I'm willing to work with. Right.
Now you got all the time in the world to reach across the aisle, all you like. Okay, go to your local Publix in Florida and reach across the aisle.
Or Gwen Graham, if, like I said, unshackled from the restrictions of winning that seat that was competitive. If it is true that she's actually can be fairly progressive, then put your progressive bona fides together and come back and run for a Senate seat. Let's go. I got no beef with Gwen Graham winning. If that's what she, if maybe she's exactly the kind of person who could recognize what voters want. And I feel like there's a zillion Democrats, and maybe I'm wrong, many Democrats who want to be more like Andrew Gillum, and consultants and their instincts, which are wrong, tell them not to be. I mean, you don't have to, it doesn't have to always be a fresh candidate. Like, you know, as we've said a zillion times, whether you're Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or Gwen Graham, they're going to call you a socialist. Mm-hmm. So do some good.
Maybe.
So just try being a socialist. Try doing some good. I don't care
or
what
be
you
a
call.
Progressive.
Just
be.
Just do good. Do good. Yeah. They're going to say they're going to rip you anyway. So just do the right thing.
So one thing to point out, though, maybe you're more familiar with this race. I wasn't really paying attention at that point, but we had that big period of very low, or at least comparatively low, Democratic governor turnout there, primary turnout. Back in 2002, it almost reached the same level, 1.35 million. And that was during the race to defeat Jeb Bush in his reelection. It was Bill McBride versus Janet Reno. Where Bill McBride won there, so I don't know if that was similar. But it's interesting, Gillum, I saw some criticism on Twitter of him saying that he had a run on impeaching the president, which I think is an exaggeration of what he talked about. But I did see that he released a video back in December of last year calling for Donald Trump to be impeached.
Who did?
Gillum.
Gillum.
So
okay.
It's at least something in terms of was there some anger and all that. That's always part of it. But no, he's running as a progressive on a full suite of policies.
So let me talk about that for a second. Two things, and then we're going to take a quick break. Arizona's coming up, and Arizona's got a full of interesting progressives, just Democrats, plus a full of crazy Republicans. Super interesting race there as well. Races there. So, but look, Nancy Pelosi says don't talk about impeachment because it'll be a distraction, and she, takes that from the 1990s playbook. Oh, the Republicans did impeachment; it hurt their electoral chances. We're not in the 1990s. We're a million years from the 1990s because these are not normal years. They're internet years. They're also Trump years. Like a billion things happen per day, right? Mm-hmm. So, like quoting Tip O'Neill, quoting the 1990s is crazy. So, meanwhile, if you talk about impeachment like Gillum did, and I look until recently, until Weisselberg, etc., and the campaign finance violations that are now clear and federal crimes, etc. I was not necessarily in the impeachment camp because I care about the substance, is the right thing to do or not, more than I care about the electoral chances, right? But when a guy like Gillum says impeachment, well, it turns out that it's instead of being like, oh my God, we might cost us Republican votes or independent votes because they think that that's too extreme. No, it gets your side to show up. Like Nancy Pelosi and the other Democrats are never going to get it through their head. You have to excite your own voters. That was literally the number one problem Hillary Clinton had.
That's right.
And,
so,
and they just they never learned a lesson.
You have to excite your own voters. And maybe in some cases, maybe impeachment is not the right way to do it. That was her thinking, right? I mean, Nancy Pelosi knows you're supposed to excite your own voters. Her lesson from the 1990s was that the Republicans' attempt to impeach Bill Clinton excited Democrats, who could easily have been very blasé and had been largely blasé about Bill Clinton, right? But the impeachment gave Bill Clinton people to fight against, right? Gave Bill Clinton an enemy, and Bill Clinton is a great politician and used it effectively. The enormous difference, you're right about the internet, you're right about everything, but the biggest difference is that Bill Clinton, for all his warts, and this is not a discussion of his the political ramifications of what's happened or the policy ramifications of what's happened from the a Clinton presidency. But Bill Clinton was not in any way a criminal in the sense that Donald Trump is. Like, they're different. And though, yes, Republicans support Trump, do you really think that if you impeach him that they're going to support him more? Like, we're at maximum level, right?
We're at our maximum expansion.
Right, so they took a moderately popular president and gave people some because they were so awful, right? So when you're impeaching Donald Trump, don't be awful. Don't be hypocritical.
Yeah, and don't do it based on nothing. Right. So if you know they try to impeach him over a consensual affair, whereas this is a federal crime, if you can't see the difference, you're not trying hard enough. So anyway, that's that. A couple of super quick comments. We'll read more when we come back too. Unikazi says, mainstream media tomorrow on Gillum win. Fluke! What wins in Florida can't possibly translate to the rest of the country. Now that would be hilarious. In this case, I'm going to be naive for a second and say, I don't think so. I think they're going to say this was a big deal and it was a shocking upset victory. And they're going to probably make a big deal out of it because it really is a shocking upset victory. It's not as shocking to us because we believe progressives can win. To Washington, it's like based on the polling, plus they think progressives can't win, it's going to blow their head, and hence exciting headlines is what I predict.
Three Florida headlines I have. Do you have headlines?
I have a CNN headline.
Go ahead, give me the CNN headline. I have three Florida papers.
Major victory for progressives.
Hey, look, do I know my politics? Even for those guys who I don't, you know, mainstream media, I got a lot of criticism for, but you can't not see that this is a major victory for progressives and a shocking upset win.
To balance it, Fox News, Kenyon wins primary.
Not true.
The Andrew Gillum scores stunning victory in Democratic nomination for Florida governor for the Tampa Bay Times. Andrew Gillum makes history as Democratic nominee for governor for the Sun Sentinel. That's Fort Lauderdale. And then the Orlando Sentinel, Andrew Gillum shocks Gwen Graham to face Ron DeSantis in the Florida governor's race.
Fox
good,
News.
Good articles. Yes, good headlines.
Their actual headline is, Florida decides Sanders-backed Tallahassee Mayor Gillum wins Dem race for governor.
Hey, look at that. Who did that?
That's Fox News.
Oh, well, Fox might think like that's a way of smearing those rats. You have at it, Hoss.
Yeah,
thank
Huffington
you very
Post, much. Florida governor stunner, progressive mayor wins Dem primary.
See, they're all saying progressive. I told you.
New York Times, Andrew Gillum, a black progressive, and Ron DeSantis, a Trump acolyte, win Florida primary.
Okay, so I was going to say this earlier as we were doing all the different reasons why this victory was so important. I'm going to go a little further and say I think this might be even a turning point because this is too many progressive victories now in one primary season. You have to think about it from their perspective, not our perspective. If you're a progressive viewer of the Young Turks, you're not that surprised. You saw Andrew Gillum on Rebel Headquarters. You saw Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on the air all the times that we covered her, etc. But you have to remember in Washington, and this is what I've been telling you, and you can see it in their coverage, generally they think they're enormously dismissive of progressives, and they think a progressive winning, that can't possibly happen. So when it does happen, and it happens over and over, now 24 Justice Democrats have won. Gillum was not one, but he was backed by all the other progressive groups.
Yeah.
Just Democrats mainly support congressional races, just a couple of governor's races. It doesn't matter at all. This guy's a wonderful progressive, backed by all the right people. And so when he wins, and that's another unmistakable progressive, clearly the most progressive in the race, at some point, even the mainstream media has to go, it's kind of piling up now. I wrote the first headline as a fluke, I wrote the second headline, and we talked about it on the show. And by the way, thank you for participating. This is what I mean when I say you guys are the Young Turks. We read your tweets live on the air as we do these election nights, as we do all of our shows. And every time we forget and you spur us to talk about the headlines, so thank you for your tweet on that. And on all the other election nights, we predicted ahead of time, as you guys did in your tweets, that they will do dismissive, disdainful, it's a fluke, it's eccentric, etc. Right? And we just read your tweet and thought, no, this one's different. And I think it is, and I think we might have turned a corner here.
And the degree to which this race is important, we talked about its importance in November as stylistically and from a messaging point of view. What does it say if a progressive beats a Trump acolyte, right? But there's redistricting after the next census. There's voting rights in Florida. perhaps almost really the most important state in a presidential election. To have, whether Democrats are able to control the legislature, a governor who can veto legislation that disenfranchises minority voters, who can influence the direction of the legislative census to redistrict in a fair and equitable way that actually represents people of Florida. That it's huge. So there are very tangible reasons why literally every progressive, every Democrat across the country needs to put an Andrew Gillum bumper sticker on their car and send him $25. $5, $10, $25, whatever you can.
Yeah, 100% right. I was just going to say the same thing. His website's andrewgillum.com. We'll have the link down below if you're watching later on YouTube or Facebook. Because
spell his last name.
It's G-I-L-L-U-M, okay? Andrew, G-I-L-L-U-M.com. Again, we'll have the link down below if you're watching this later on YouTube or Facebook in the description box or the comment section. But guys, because this is step one, and it's a huge, huge step, progressives winning in the primaries. But remember, the whole point is to win, of course, and get into power. And part of the point is not just to attain that power in one seat at a time, but to prove conventional wisdom wrong that running Republican-light, corporate-backed Democrats is not the winning strategy. I know, how could they possibly believe that? They've lost over 1,000 seats over the last 10 years doing that strategy. But they will not get it through their thick heads. But if guys like Andrew Gillum beat DeSantis, who will now be declared by Washington as the favorite because, hey, we know him. He's an established, he's a Republican. He's legitimate. He's a congressman. This guy's mayor of Tallahassee and he's a progressive. And he's not taking corporate money. He's not going to win. Big Sugar's going to be on the other side, right? Well, if Gillum then beats DeSantis, that's a second earthquake.
You think?
And it cannot be denied. So he's got to win and you got to make that happen. Donate, volunteer, do whatever you can.
There's no way Big Sugar plays DeSantis's election night party. Big Sugar's coming to Andrew Gillum's.
And finally, look, guys, I want to thank all you guys. You make all these election nights possible. You made Rebel Headquarters possible. We didn't have more members. We couldn't have done that show. And some of you might have never met Andrew Gillum, who was on the program. You might not have gotten to volunteer for him or donate for him. And so you think like, oh, wow, I got the privilege of donating to him. No, because that means it's your victory. So if you gave him any money against the corporate donors, if you volunteered for him, you made that happen. So look, I know that you guys have done it for so many different progressives, but this one is gigantic and we have got to win the general election if we do. Remember, this is the same Democratic Party that lost to Rick Scott over and over with their horrible, horrific incompetence. Rick Scott was the CEO of a company that committed the largest Medicare fraud in American history, and they couldn't beat him. So if you get a progressive come in here and kick DeSantis' ass, who's gonna run a standard Republican campaign, then it becomes indisputable. The progressive path is not only the right path for policy, but it's also the right path for electoral victories. Yeah. So let's go Andrew Gillum. All right, we got to take a quick break here. On an epic night, epic returns when we return.